Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. It's good to have the rain, as brother shared. He's probably maybe a little more thankful for it than I am, maybe. But I am thankful for the rain. Wow, it's amazing how God has created things to work. And when it's not quite like we think it should be, and then God produces the rain and he produces the sunshine. And there's a little flower behind our house. Well, it's been little all summer. And man, it is growing out of control since this rain. So we're thankful for the rain. This morning, we're also thankful for friends. And we want to look at Proverbs this morning. We're actually going to look at several different scriptures in Proverbs about friends this morning. What is the Bible? What is Proverbs? Which is what we've been mostly, I've been preaching about from. What does the Proverbs say? What does the Bible say about friends? And it's interesting. You would think in the age of social media today that friends would be easier to have than ever before. But studies are showing the more that we use social media actually to keep in touch with friends, the more lonely we feel. And I'm not sure what that's about. I think maybe it's because there's something about face-to-face, person-to-person interaction that really binds us together as friends and helps us to relate. And I came across this slide. Hopefully you can see it. It's a study that was done in 1990 and again in 2021, just as the pandemic was kind of in the middle towards winding down, talking about percentage of people having close friends, not counting relatives. So you can't count your relatives as friends. Some people don't count relatives as friends anyway, but for sure for this report, you can't count your relatives as friends. But to look at that chart is kind of scary. In 1990, men, on average, 3% of men said that they have no close friends. In 2021, that's 15%. That's a five-fold increase of men that say that they have no friends. Women is almost the same. It doesn't give a number there for what it was, so I don't know if it was 2 or 3 or 1. But again, as you look at that, and you look at that top chart, the very last, the darkest one, is 10 or more friends. In 1990, 40% of men would have said they have 10 or more friends, 40%. Today, or in 2021, it's 15%. And as you look at those numbers, they've changed quite drastically. And there's a study that was done. Then they found it interesting that people that were on social media to keep their friendships going were actually more lonely than those that were on social media for other reasons. They didn't give what those reasons were. But that was not what they were expecting to find. They were trying to figure out what causes some loneliness. Well, they said association between social media use and loneliness is what they were looking for. And what they discovered is the people that were on social media to make friends or to keep in touch with their friends were actually more lonely than those that weren't. So as we go, we think about friends. As I was studying for this and thinking about friends, you know, I don't know that I've ever put a lot of, like, sat down and thought about, well, I'm going to be friends with this person or I'm not going to be friends with that person. Yeah, I know who people are probably that I shouldn't be friends with, but have I actually sat down and thought about it? But it's interesting. The studies that are coming out, it's a big deal about who your friends are. And what's interesting, I'm going to read some studies here that are not from any, I don't know that they're from a Christian perspective, and I'm not saying them to validate the Bible. I'm saying them because finally, after thousands of years, people are finally realizing what God told us way back in Proverbs already about friends. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." And that verse really caught my attention. If you read it in King James, it doesn't actually say it exactly like that. It's a little different. But this is New King James. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. And I had to think about that. How carefully have I chosen my friends throughout my life? I thought about this on my heart as young people. Choosing your friends wisely. So you young people, and there's not any here, so I thought about changing this message to a different Sunday and coming out with a new one for today because I think it's a very important message for young people. But I was going to preach it last Sunday when they were here, and the Lord changed things around that Todd preached. So I thought, you know what, Lord? I guess this is the Sunday for this message. And I'm just thinking about friends, and did I consider that enough? I think it's a big deal. So I'm going to read a few things, a few different just thoughts from other people from society that aren't necessarily Christian, but I helped me to understand. It was interesting, and not helped me to understand. It was interesting to see that people are finally seeing what God has told us all along. So this is a man by the name of Simon Alexander. He said this: "From entering adolescence to hunting down my first job while at university, it has allowed me to understand that hard work and perseverance are essential ingredients to getting what you want out of life. They are the catalysts that help turn visions into reality. What hit me over time, however, and particularly in the last few years, is the fact that our success in life, more often than not, comes down to the people we choose to spend our time with. How smart you are, how talented you are, where you were born, the family environment you grew up in, these may all play some role as to how successful you will be in life. But in comparison to the impact of surrounding yourself with people who can lift you higher, it doesn't compare. An individual may be born into riches, but live an unhappy life, while someone from more humble beginnings may be able to manifest their dreams in record-breaking time, all because of the company they keep, which influences their way of thinking, and thus resulting in a mindset for success. Our habits determine the person we become. Environment optimization is an important one that can have a profound impact on your well-being. Want to be successful? Surround yourself with successful people. Want to be happy? Surround yourself with happy people. Want to be healthy? Surround yourself with healthy people. Want to become more confident? Surround yourself with confident people. In essence, we become more like the people we hang out with. According to the research done by a social psychologist named Dr. David McLeland of Harvard, the people you habitually associate with determine as much as 95% of your success or failure in life. That's a pretty big number. The people you hang out with. Do you see why God tells us in His Word that we shouldn't forsake the assembling together? The people that we hang out with, the church people that we hang out with, the church that we go to, there's a huge impact that those people have on us, the huge impact that our friends have on us. Humans are social creatures, and we're all highly influenced by the people around us each day. People who hang around smokers or drinkers are more likely to smoke and drink themselves. And you're more likely to buy things the people you're closest to buy. Their values become your values. You know, I've heard many people say, the life I was leading, I wanted to get away from it. I had to change who my friends were. I had to change who I was hanging out with. Sometimes, if we would look at God's Word as He tells us this morning in His Word, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The sooner we can do that, the earlier in our life we can do that, the better. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He tells it again, as I've said many times reading through Proverbs, he shares it, God shares it pretty bluntly. He doesn't beat around the bush, but he gives it straight. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Friends have a large influence on the course of your life. Are you choosing wise friends to be friends with? Do you look for friends that you want to be like, that are like you want to be in Christ? You know, we talked about a little bit ago. In business, they say, find somebody that has maybe done what you're doing and learn from them. Become friends with them. Learn from them how to do what you want to do. The same way, are we looking for our friends that are growing in Christ? Maybe that are more, I want to say grown up. That's not really the word I want, but more mature in Christ. That's the word I wanted. More mature in Christ than you are to be friends with. How much time do you take thinking about the quality of your friends? How much time do we use doing that? So often, friends just happen. You know, we connect, whether it's work or wherever it is, hobbies. Often we have friends through hobbies. Who you choose to be your friend will impact your life immensely. Somebody has said this: if you want to know what you are like, check out the character of the friends you are being associated with. If you want to know what you are like, check out the character of the friends you are being associated with. Somebody else said this. He said, show me your friends, and I will tell you who you are. So often that's true. And so according to Warren Buffett, who's not necessarily a hero of mine, but again, it's interesting to see the world also sees the truth of what God has says. According to Buffett, you will move in the direction of the people you associate with. So it is important to associate yourself with people that are better than yourself. You want to associate with people who are the kind of person you want to be. Are we associating with those kind of people? Next, we're going to look at the negative first, and then we're going to look at the positive. What does Proverbs say? What does the Bible say about the friendships that we should avoid? Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Proverbs 16:20, a perverse man or a dishonest man or a contrary man sows strife and whispers separates the best of friends. Avoid friendship with dishonest, contrary men or whisperers. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it would be counted a curse to him. This is talking about somebody that is using flattery mostly. Just really tries to flatter you, really tries to lift you up, to get something from you. Avoid those kind of people. They're not really true friends. 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. What that tells us, what that tells me, is that we want to not believe that. We want to believe that we can hang out with company, evil company, and it will not corrupt our good habits. If that wasn't the case, it wouldn't be there. It says, do not be deceived, which means we're going to try to be, devil's going to try to deceive us and say, evil company corrupts good habits. And the one I struggle with the most, so when I was young, and this is not really friends, but yet it is the movies that we watch. You know, so often, the movies that we watch, I have to be careful today, the videos we watch on YouTube, we say, well, it's just real life. But the words that they use, the actions that they do, are not very Christ-like. And so often we say, well, I'm just watching, it's real life, it's what happens out there. It won't affect me, but it does. It does affect us. Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And if you read Psalm 1, you see the difference between the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scornful, and the person that does. So avoid friendships with the ungodly, with the sinners, with the scornful. It doesn't mean that we aren't friendly. There's a difference. There's a difference. Some people say, well, I can't even associate with the ungodly, the sinner. Yes, we can. We can be friendly to them. We can be friendly. But we should not be friends with them. And we're talking about friends here. We're talking about people that you spend a lot of time with, that you spend a great amount of your time with. Fake friends, something that we have to watch out for. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth makes many friends, but the poor are separated from his friends. You know, the wealthy people, they don't know. You don't know if they're your friends because of your money and what you can do for them, or because they're your friend because they like you and they want to be friends with you, whether you would have the money or not. Actually, Proverbs talks a lot. Whoops, let's go back. Proverbs 19:7, all the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more does his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. You will soon find out, if you have no money, who your real friends are. Proverbs 14:20, the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Many friends that he doesn't know if they are true friends or not so often. And then Proverbs talks us, I called it the great slayer of friendship. Surety, which I didn't put it on there. Sometimes we don't quite know what all these words. How many of you know what the word surety means? More than I was expecting. A person who takes responsibility for another's performance of an undertaking is an example of appearing in court or paying a debt, often like co-signing for somebody. And it's interesting that Proverbs tells us to not do that. Proverbs 17:18, a man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Proverbs 6:1-3, my son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. And it's interesting. There is nothing that ruins friendships like money transactions. I know of a man that has been very generous with his friends to help them out of financial situations. The problem is, and I think we've talked about this before, other people have, if you give money to a friend or a family member, give it. Give it. Don't expect to get it back. I know of a man that was very generous with his friends. He'd help them out of financial troubles. And I don't know of one of those that it did not end the friendship. Because he was expecting the money back. Sorry to say, but if they're having financial problems that you need to bail them out of, there's a good chance you will not get your money back. If you're willing to give them, if they're your friend and you're willing to give them that money and not get it back, great. But if you're expecting that money back, and that's part of what we're seeing right here, I believe, in Proverbs 17, loaning money to friends and expecting it back. Doesn't say anything about giving, but standing, being a surety, co-signing for somebody usually causes lots of issues, and that's why I call it the great slayer of friendship. Now I want to look at the positive side. Good friend. What does a good friend do for us? Good friends. A good friend makes our life better, easier, and more joyful. Marcus Cicero said this, friendship improves happiness and abates misery by doubling our joys and dividing our grief. And I found that amazing. How does that work? When we share our joys with somebody, it makes us both happy, happier. It's like it says, by doubling our joys when we share it with friends, and when we share our grief with people, it seems to cut it in half, like it divides it out. It makes the load smaller, and that's amazing how that works. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, by doubling our joys and dividing our grief, friendship improves happiness and abates misery. Helen Keller said this, I would rather walk with a friend in the dark than alone in the light. And for her, that was a literal statement. She was blind and deaf. She knows what it's like to walk in the dark. I can imagine what it's like to be deaf, kind of. But you can see, so it's not. Or to be blind and you can hear. There's still some kind of sensory, you can something surrounding you. But if you are blind and deaf, that would be the most scary place in the world to be. But that's where Helen Keller was. She said, I would rather walk with a friend in the dark than alone in the light. Next thing that Proverbs tells us about a good friend is a good friend is honest with you. There's a statement that is often said, and often it's probably not meant this way, but what do you want in your friends? What makes a good friend? And many people would answer, a good friend accepts you just the way you are. And I have struggled with that statement for years. A good friend accepts you just the way you are. A good friend will receive you just the way you are. But I don't think a good friend should accept you the way you are. Is a friend who accepts you as you are a true friend? I think a true friend would want us to become better than we are. Too often a friend that accepts us as we are is an enabler instead of someone who challenges us to grow. So often we only want people to accept us as we are, that we want them to do that so that we don't have to change. You know, if we have somebody that really questions us, sometimes that can be, you know, just back off, I'm fine. Proverbs 27:9 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And I like how the New Living Translation says it. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. The wounds of a friend, as used here, are not words that come from a friend from being deceitful, hurtful, or dishonest, but wounds from a friend who is telling us the truth about ourselves in a loving and caring way. And it doesn't always feel good. The kisses of an enemy are flattery and deceitful kindness to get what they want. Benjamin Franklin says this, 'tis a great confidence in a friend to tell him your faults. You know, and it feels good when you have somebody that you can tell your faults to, that you're close enough to, that you can share your faults to. But then he says this, greater to tell him his. Do you have a friend that you can tell his faults to him or her? 'Tis a great confidence in a friend to tell him your faults, greater to tell him his. Francis Ward Weller says, a friend can tell you things you don't want to tell yourself. That's a true friend that can tell you things that you don't want to tell yourself. A good friend is honest with you. A good friend is loyal. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we're looking at the last part of that verse. We're going to look at the first part of that verse here in just a little bit. John 15:13, Jesus talking here. And we're going to look at this passage a little more later too. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. A good friend is loyal. A good friend makes you grow. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Matthew Henry says this about this verse. He says, wise and profitable discourse sharpens men's wits. And those that have ever so much knowledge may by conversation have something added to them. Good men's graces are sharpened by conversation with those that are good. And bad men's lusts and passions are sharpened by conversation with those that are bad. As iron sharpens iron by its like, especially by the file. And that's true. That's something we don't think about often. We think about, we think about that first part. Good men's graces are sharpened by conversation with those that are good. We don't think about the fact. And bad men's lusts and passions are sharpened by the conversation with those that are bad. Are we careful about the conversations that we have? Listen to counsel. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. A good friend makes you grow. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He who walks with wise men will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Another thing that, as I was thinking about this, and I've alluded to it just a little bit, we're not, and I've shared it many times, we're not made to run this race alone. That's why I think it's amazing the way God made churches. But it's interesting in other ways how we're built and created to work together. So there was an analysis done, and I'm going to read several of them here. An analysis of individual surgeons' performance was also consistent with these findings, in that surgeons made significant fewer surgical errors per case when they worked with their primary surgical teams than working with their secondary surgical teams. And I'm going to read first here what the difference is. The primary surgical teams were defined as those in which the majority of team members were routinely matched together during surgical cases. So often these people work together. Whereas secondary surgical teams consisted of majority of members who had little familiarity with the operating surgeon and other team members. And what was interesting is, well, I'll read it. I think it says it here. Surgeons made significantly fewer surgical errors per case when working with their primary surgical teams than working with secondary teams. Interestingly, there was no significant difference in the amount of overall surgical experience between the primary and secondary surgical teams. So there was no difference in how good they were. into two different teams. But the teams that worked together more often, there was less errors in the surgery room. The teams that worked with the same surgeon over and over again, even though there was the same amount of experience, there was less error. In Silicon Valley, software engineers are encouraged to work together, in part because studies show that groups tend to innovate faster, see mistakes more quickly, and find better solutions to problems. Studies also show that people working in teams tend to achieve better results and report higher job satisfaction. It's interesting, I came across an article that said Google usually hires and fires people in teams because they say a good team, they would rather have a good team than one very, very skilled person, because they say a good team for this very reason here. They see they can innovate faster, see mistakes more quickly, find better solutions. And I've come across that. I think I've shared the experience that turned the light bulb on in for me was at Rise and Roll when I was working in the bakery and production side, and we were trying to make donut holes. You know, you can only make a donut hole if you have a donut. But you know what? More people like donut holes than donuts. We had to come up with it, and for years we tried to find a way to do this and could not find a way to figure it out, because a round ball of dough is always heavier on one side than the other. So if you put it through the oil, you can flip it, but it will just automatically rotate back to the side. So you get a donut hole that's way too heavily fried on the bottom side and it's not fried at all on top when it comes out the other side. And we, for years, were trying to figure out a way to do this. And one day I came across a video, and I'm like, perfect, that works. Awesome. So I went to work, I'm all excited. I got this figured out. I know how we're going to do it. And I shared it with Leona, and she said, no, it's not going to work. Come on, it's perfect. But she said, if we would do this, then it could work. And I said, no, we can't do that. That won't work. Okay. Well, it took us about, I don't know, were you there, Justin, at that time? Around that time, I think. It took us less than a day and about three or four of us getting together, and we figured it out. And it was not anywhere close to what I had initially suggested. But that's how teams work. That's why when we work together, that's how friends work. We work together and we encourage each other along the way. And I found it interesting that when companies model their work after how God has designed things, it works. It's because that's how God designed a church. Hebrews 10:24 says this, "Let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more so as you see the day approaching." So we are to work together as a group. Romans 12:4. "Now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another." Romans 12:9-6 talks a lot about this. It says about working together, being part of a group. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation." Good friends help us grow. And that's part of how God has created us, I believe. Shows us that design in His church and how we are one body, even though we're many parts. And that's how we grow. Then we want to look at the best friend, the creator of friendship Himself. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down one's life for his friends." And we have that perfect and wonderful example of Jesus doing exactly that. God never asks us anything that He was not willing to do Himself. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. In Luke 12:4, and I said to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. What a wonderful friend that we have in Jesus. We have sang that song. What a wonderful friend. The best friend. The ultimate friend. The people you spend the most time with shape you, who you are. They determine what conversations dominate your attention. They affect which attitudes and behaviors you're regularly exposed. Eventually, you start to think like they think and behave like they behave. How much time are you spending with Jesus? Jesus is a friend that makes your life better, easier, more joyful. He's honest with you. He's loyal, and he makes you grow. What a wonderful friend. The best friend that we can ever have is Jesus. And how much time are we spending with him? Oh, that's the end. In closing, I wanted to think a little bit about, we've talked about a lot about what type of friend that we should associate with. What kind of friends are we looking for? But Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. You know, if you want to have friends, you have to be friendly. And I think I've shared this story too. I don't know how many times I've shared some of my stories. But I remember in youth group one night going home and just being all discouraged because nobody had talked to me. And he talked to me. And the Lord, it was just like a clear voice told me. He asked me a question. He said, who'd you talk to? Ooh, that was a tough question because I realized I hadn't talked to anybody either. And it was like this very thing. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. So if you want somebody to talk to you, then go talk to them. And it changed my life. Just to be now my wife says I can talk to a brick wall. But I like to talk to people. I don't mind talking to people. And it's amazing how many people that you think would never talk to you, if you talk to them, they'll talk back. It's amazing. Try it sometime. If you think there's somebody that doesn't talk, talk to them. 90% chance that they will talk back if you talk to them. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. So we've talked a lot about the type of friend that we want to be with. We also need to think about, are we the type of person that people want to be friends with us? What qualities do we have that someone would want to become our friend? Are you the type of person someone would want to become friends with because of what you would do for their life? We say the best way to get a good spouse is to prepare by being a good spouse ourselves, right? That's the best way to get a good spouse is to prepare. It's not doing anything in ourselves and just go, well, I wonder how I can find the best husband or the best wife. The best way to prepare is to do the things that you need to do to become a good spouse, husband, or wife. The same way with a friend. The best way is to become get the traits that make a good friend. The best way to get friends that have all these traits that we want is to be that kind of person. And the way to those traits is to be a friend of the creator of friendship, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the one that helps us to be the people that we need to be so that we can be people that influence our friends' lives and make it better. So this morning as we go from here, think about that. I don't know how many of you did. I've never really sat down and thought a lot about who my friends are and been intentional about my friends. To some extent, I think I have been. I've thought about it some, but never intentionally just thought about and studied it. And we can go too far that way, too. Well, I'm not going to associate with that person because of this. I'm not going to. We need to be friendly. But who we spend most of our time with, we need to be conscious of and to think about and be intentional about. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for our church family. Lord, friends that we can be with that can help us to grow. Lord, I pray for each one of us here that we can have a friend that helps us to grow. Lord, that a friend that is all these things that we've looked at. Lord, a close friend that can be, that is loyal, Lord, that helps us to grow, that is honest with us. Lord, help us to be that kind of friend also, Lord, to do it in kind and loving ways. Lord, sometimes people are very honest with us, but Lord, it's not in a kind and loving way. Lord, I pray for our church this morning, Lord. Help us to be a shining light for those around us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and the friend that he is to us. Lord, that he has called us a friend. Lord, when we follow him and obey him and love him, Lord, he calls us his friend. What a wonderful blessing. Lord, it increases our joys and divides our sorrows, Lord, to know him. Lord, I pray that we can be a people that shares him with those around us that don't know him. Lord, those people that have those sorrows that are just building up and getting heavier and heavier, Lord. Lord, I pray that we can share Jesus with them. Lord, I pray that you be with each one of us this week. Help us to be a light for you. In Jesus' name this morning, amen.